You're listening to Pagan Mom Podcast. I am so glad that you're joining me today, and this is a podcast where you can come to indulge in various topics regarding paganism in our modern world, merging present and past. Be sure never to miss an episode by subscribing if you feel so inclined. I'd be very grateful. Thank you. Now let's get on with it. Hello, all you beautiful souls, and welcome back to another episode. This is your host, Pagan Mom, the Modern Vala. In today's episode, I thought I'd share with you some of my unpopular opinions. Juicy, juicy, eh? I'm gonna bring up stuff that people rarely speak loudly of. I think it's time to raise my voice in this all. I am aware that I might be stepping on some toes with some of the things that I'm going to bring up here, but at the same time, I think it's important that it's being addressed because people are so afraid of speaking their own minds, and I think it's time that we learn to speak up. People are so worried about other people's acceptance, and I don't think it's healthy, to be quite honest. Some things might sting to some people if we speak out on our opinions, but people need to learn that it's okay to have different opinions about stuff, and it's important that we all learn to really actually respect each other despite that we have different opinions. We may not agree with the opinions that comes forth, but we need to at least respect each other. In this pagan community, I have seen and experienced so much my way or the highway mentality through the years, and it's fucked up. We as pagans should support and respect one another, even if we don't share each other's opinions. We're all pagans after all, and I'm not saying we should support outrageous opinions, like stuff that doesn't have anything to do with our pagan faith. I only mean we should respect each other's way of practice. It's so simple really, but people's ego is getting in the way of this. And it's sad. It shouldn't be like this. Time has come for real acceptance and respect, and I'm always gonna be a warrior for that. So let's start in our own pagan community. Let us all be people to look up to. Now let's get going with all my slightly salty and unpopular opinions. Hang in there, here we go. The first of my unpopular opinions is that I don't agree with the picking and choosing of random deities for deity work. Nowadays, deities are basically being randomly picked up and used in spellwork and such, like they are merely tools for the practitioner, quite frankly. And this is such a popular thing that practitioners and pagans tend to do nowadays for some weird reason. It's making me a little sad and annoyed that I have seen, both back in the days when I was an active YouTuber, and nowadays too, unfortunately, several years later, that people still use deities as if they were an ingredient or something. Like, they still don't know how to do this properly. The deities aren't objects who are to be added in a potion or in a spell just like that. There are so many people that seems to pick random deities basically straight out of lists, like deities associated with love or deities associated with magic, for example, and then randomly pick out one of the deities that they think would likely work with what they're trying to do. And I really honestly don't understand this way of treating the deities. I mean, would you do the same with a random stranger you see on the street? Like, hey, you over there, you look like you're good with magic. Come help me with this potion of mine, will you? And do you think that random person would just say yes, just like that, right away? Like, no. Deities deserve respect. And also, not to forget, the future relationship between you and that deity might be compromised, since that is like a bad first impression of who you are as a person to the deity. So like, think about it. Would you like if someone would just come up to you randomly and demanding, like some pagans unfortunately do for some reason, that you'd help them out with something? If that is the first and unknown person due to you without even knowing anything about you or having met you before, or even if you have a connection, demanding is something you should never do anyway. But anyhow, wouldn't that be a bad first impression of that person to you if they just come there and demands stuff from you? It's the same with the deities, really. Get to know them a little at least before you decide to start asking them for favors. Try reaching out to them through meditation, read about their mythology, lore and such. Things like that. that can help with forming an understanding of the deity and form a connection between you. It can, of course, be a different thing if you're asking for help, like genuine help with something. But asking for their assistance like they're just some object to be picked from a list of ingredients is not a good idea. Nor is it a good idea, and frankly, it's very rude and disrespectful to try and demand something from them. And on the speak of demanding, once upon a YouTube time, I had a person contacting me asking me for help, since he knew of my particular abilities. He wanted me to reach out to the Norse god Loki for him, since he could not himself. He claimed that Loki was his patron, but that he didn't seem willing to help him out with some spells and rituals that he was doing, so he wanted me to ask Loki about this all for him. And it was totally random, but he also claimed to be a friend and a student of a particular Norse pagan YouTuber that I was acquainted with back in my YouTube days myself, a person that was very popular within the Norse pagan community at that time. I did, however, think it was strange that this guy hadn't asked him for help instead, if he now was a student and a friend of his. But kind as I am, I was willing to at least try and help him out. I seldom do this for total strangers otherwise. But since I am who I am, I'm always willing to help people out if they ask me to. He occasionally also sent me pictures on magic workings that he did, spell objects and such, which made me a bit uneasy, to be honest. But he asked me if I felt something looking at those pictures. I guess that he was fishing for clues if his spells had worked or something. I really don't know, to be honest. It was a bit creepy, but I didn't feel a thing though from the pictures, so that was a good thing. Somehow I kinda suspected something shady was going on, cause I could feel it in my bones, a nagging feeling. So yeah, I was kinda happy I didn't feel anything from the spell objects and such. But I thought that maybe I was just imagining that, and I'm a kind person, so I was, despite this all, and my uneasy feelings about him and his workings, willing to help him out with this, since I know that it can be difficult for people to connect like that to the deities. And that's where people like me come into the picture, to be able to be of service like that, a link between the deities and people. Thing is also though that this guy was acting like it was his solemn right to be assisted by Loki in whatever it was that he was asking for. And I was suspecting this dude was really off the charts, but I gave him the benefit of a doubt and I reached out to Loki for him, cause this guy really sounded desperate. And desperate people can sometimes act very strangely. And sometimes I can be too damn kind for my own damn good too. But that's just who I am. Anyhow, I had no idea what it was that he had asked of Loki, since quite frankly, that is none of my business. But when I reached out to Loki, he told me exactly what this guy had tried to demand of him, and of nature itself. And after I got all his messages, I delivered them to this guy, and he got so frustrated and angry by them, and I actually got very uneasy by this person. And I have to say that the things that he had asked from Loki and the spells he tried to do to accomplish this, it's just disturbing. And I asked him about this information given to me from Loki, and he admitted that this all was in fact true. I ended this all by giving him some advice and such, but he didn't really seem to care, to be honest. He just wanted what he wanted, and that's that. And he demanded I'd help him, since he could not make his spells and rituals to work. And I told him, of course, that I was not gonna help him doing so. And I repeated one of the things Loki told him too, that he cannot change and force nature. I don't really want to tell you guys what he was attempting to accomplish, since it's his personal stuff, but I also don't want to give it any power by mentioning it. So, end of story. But to summarize this all, don't use random deities as tools in your practice. Get to know them first before you ask for their assistance, and do not dare to go and just demand stuff from them. Now, let's get on with my next unpopular opinion. And that is that I don't mind paganism and witchcraft being trendy. I don't really care if it is or not, to be honest. It comes and goes in peaks through the years anyhow. But I know there's so many pagans, and especially we who practice the craft in some way or form, who absolutely hate that witchcraft and paganism in all of its forms has become so trendy. Especially those who has been in it for a long time tend to hate it the most. They are used to their craft and community being secretive and hidden. And that being a practitioner is something that's special about them. and it's an identity for them. They like to keep that sense of mystery to themselves. I myself think it's good that we're coming more forward and into the light as pagans and practitioners, because when this is done, more people become less afraid to come out with being what they are. And the visibility makes us more normalized, in lack of a better word, that it's not something to be ashamed of. And it's not really fully socially acceptable in this time and age to be pagan or a practitioner of the craft, and I don't think that it will ever be, to be quite honest. But the more of us we are and the more we become, the more visible we become, and with the help of social media in different forms, for example, it can contribute positively in that we are becoming more daring and open about our spirituality. And that can make us feel like we don't need to hide, feel ashamed and such for being who we are anymore. It contributes that we as pagans get the courage to show who we are more openly. The visibility can in turn then also lead to that we can find like-minded people to connect to, either in real life or on platforms on the internet, such as Instagram, Discord, Facebook, Pods, and YouTube and such things. Because sometimes it can feel rather lonely if you don't know any fellow pagans. And it's always fun to share experiences and learn from one another, in my opinion. It's very valuable to be able to discuss things with each other and making new friends all over the world. It's very enriching. Visibility also contributes to make non-pagans see and understand what we are doing. I think that the more that we are open what we are doing, it in turn increases the understanding of what we do, and that will then contribute to people being more open-minded and accepting and not as weirded out by us as they otherwise would have been. Because the more information people are getting, the less afraid they become of the things that was unknown to them before. And I have said this for so many years now, that we as pagans need to step out of the shadows, and it's time now. And we should be proud. We shouldn't hide any longer. And now with the help of the media, like the magical and pagan series and movies coming out, like the series Vikings or the chilling adventures of Sabrina, the Harry Potter movies and such, there's an increase in the trendiness of witchcraft and paganism. And that's for better or for worse, I'd say. Like, there's people watching the series Vikings, for example, thinking it is so cool and such, and they like the show, and therefore all of a sudden thinks it's a cool thing becoming a pagan, but they don't understand the core itself with it. They merely tend to believe that being pagan is only about drinking mead, style their hair like Ragnar, Björn or Lagertha, and running around screaming skål all the time, for example, and such. So, while the series and movies are creating a trendiness which leads to more people becoming interested in paganism and the craft, they can also be sort of misrepresenting of what and who we are. So, it's a double-edged sword, really, in a sense. The risk with the trendiness is that all kinds of people are drawn to it. Both people who would become skilled practitioners and healthy pagans, but also those who would just not be suitable. And those less suitable people could then possibly start toying with energies and forces that they don't actually understand, and that can potentially be very dangerous. Although trendiness and exposure in media also contributes to pagans finding their courage to become more publicly visible too, with wanting to start YouTube channels, Instagram accounts, podcasts and such, which is very beneficial for our pagan community as a whole. There is also the possibility of misrepresentation of us pagans due to paganism and witchery being visible in the real media, like people being in documentaries, interviews and such. And let me explain this a bit more in depth with an example. Here in Sweden, for example, neither practitioners of the craft or pagans are visible really. Here this stuff is very hidden in the shadows, and people consider you to be odd if you're into this in this modern day. Because they just cannot grasp that you can believe in something so old. And also, the general population in Sweden are also atheistic. So people frown if you even believe in something, to be honest. There are, however, two big groups here that are visible active pagans, and they are called Fornsed, or N-A-S, Nas. But they are, in my opinion, maybe portraying this faith and path in a different light than I myself would agree with. These two groups have each been represented in media in different ways, a documentary, for example, but also two of their priestesses, or gudjur, as it's called in Swedish, have been on our so-called morning studio, a show on TV in the mornings, in which they have been interviewed in and such about their faith and practices. And now afterwards, this is the view that Swedish people have been given of the general pagan people. And I think Gudjuna are brave to step out of the shadows, and I'm grateful for that. But some stuff they said was kind of misrepresentative of us as pagans in certain ways, which is such a shame, really. So people in Sweden could be even more weirded out by us pagans after these documentaries and interviews, and that's not good if we want to be out of the shadows, acknowledged and accepted without being looked down on. It's the same kind of thing that happens when pagan or witchy people are on TikTok, for example. While TikTok can maybe be a great inspiration for people, it can also be pure bullshit too, being spread around, which makes us all look bad, unfortunately. But to go back to the pop culture side of the media, the hype that these series and movies create makes the supermarkets to start to sell witchy stuff like sage and crystals to make a profit from it, because they see an increase in these kind of interests and they are all about the money. And a couple of years ago, it was this beauty store called Sephora that started to sell these so-called starter witch kits from a brand named Pinrose, which included a bundle of white sage, some crystals, a tarot deck, and some little perfumes or oil bottles. And this little pink and cute kit created a raging storm in the witchy community. Practitioners got so upset by this that so many of them were coming out on YouTube making videos about how wrong, outrageous, and disrespectful this was. Practitioners from all over the world, mostly America but still, started calling the company and yelled them out for it, totally hating on it. Things got absolutely crazy, and after a short while, Sephora then decided to pull the witch kits from the shelves. And as a Swede, I was totally gobsmacked when I heard of all this. I remember I was thinking, only in America can this stuff be so hated and raged about, when I saw all this happening. And since I was a YouTuber myself, I saw many of my circle YouTubers making video them too about this. Some were praising it and some of them were raging about it. The opinions were so divided. Either you loved it or you absolutely hated it. And I'm a little torn myself in this question, to be honest. It's easy access for those people who maybe don't have a witchy shop nearby where they live, and it's cheap for those who wouldn't have the finances to buy witchy stuff from exclusive witchy shops, and those who are careful spenders. Sometimes I can find really good stuff for a cheap price in the supermarkets, to be honest, and as a parent, I need to think twice about my economy and be smart about it. So if I can find, let's say, a crystal for a cheap price in the supermarket, I'll go buy that instead of paying the double to an independent seller. If I like the energy of that cheap crystal, I'm definitely gonna buy it. The downside is, though, that the supermarkets only cares about money. They don't really care about the practice or the practitioners, and they don't really care that the stuff in the kits or whatever they're selling is genuine good stuff for serious practitioners, such as people who sell independently does. And I also want to add here that I don't actually buy a lot of witchy stuff, since I am really kind of minimalistic in my practice. I really only spend money on something that I really, really want or need, like herbs, resins, crystals and such. But otherwise, I actually don't buy a lot. I rarely buy stick incense, for example, because I like to make my own loose ones. I am, however, quite picky with the herbs and resins that I'm using for the ones I make, so I am willing to spend a bit more on those things, and the supermarkets seldom have the best quality. Also, the supermarkets rarely have good stick incense brands either, like my beloved Goloka. So for that, I tend to buy from either Etsy sellers or businesses that really cares about their products being good ones and sourced in a good way and such. And of course, I want to support my own fellow crafters best I can, but it all kind of depends on what it is that I feel I need to buy, really. So yeah, to summarize this whole topic, I am kind of torn, actually. I'm somewhere in between all of this, and I know I sound like a typical Jante Swede now, as we say here, always being neutral and stuff, but for real, I can see both pros and cons with this all, to be honest. And now on to the next unpopular opinion, which is, not everyone is supposed to have a matron or a patron deity. And I have talked about what a matron and patron deity is in the episode Matron Patron Q&A, so do listen to that one if you want to know my definition of what those are. If we look at this from an historical and mythological perspective, it was really only the great heroes and such that had some kind of deity that they said they were guided by, or a son or daughter of, like Hercules or Achilles. And Hercules was said to be a demigod and the son of Zeus. and Achilles, who was this heroic Spartan warrior, was said to be guided and mentored by the Greek goddess Athena. Both of these men seems to have been chosen for either their particular skills and or importance to the mankind. It was not really the norm for everybody back then to say that they were guided by the gods or sons and daughters of them. If it was like so, it would be mentioned somehow and somewhere in the documents and books found from that era. And we just don't have any evidence of that as of yet. So yeah, I think it's rather rare to have matrons and patrons, and not as common as people want it to seem like nowadays. This is only a theory of mine though, and there is no way to say for certain. Yet, anyhow. Next unpopular opinion of mine is that pagan faith is not a religion.
What's the matter with you?
I consider pagan faith to be spirituality. A religion to me is the Abrahamic ones that all have a book to follow, like a Bible or the Quran and so on. And religion to me is a faith system that has rules and restrictions. And pagan faith doesn't have these restrictions and rules. It's very free and in some aspects very nature-based, in difference to the big religions in the world. So therefore, I don't consider paganism to be a religion. There are, however, groups in the pagan community that are very much of the opinion that it is indeed a religion, and that's fine too. But to me, the term religion is something else. Here in Sweden, Norse paganism has, for example, actually become legally labeled and acknowledged as a religion not long ago, and this was a result of the work Nas put into the matter. And this Swedish pagan group has really accomplished stuff within the pagan spectrum, not only making Norse paganism an acknowledged religion here, but also they picked up the fight against the runes being illegalized and won that battle. Although they have some views that I don't particularly agree with, like I'm gonna mention here next after. And the next unpopular opinion is, the Poetic Edda is not a Bible.
Oh, come on!
This is something that I've said for several years, and people have always reacted to this particular opinion. And let me give you all an example of how it's viewed here in Sweden. The members of Nas, for example, which I mentioned just before, really considers the Edda as to be a Bible. And I can't really understand that, to be honest. I have never been a member of that pagan group, but I am able to be on their Facebook group. And I have since long deleted my account altogether on Facebook since I don't really use it. But when I did use Facebook, I saw people in that group constantly writing about the Edda, telling everyone what good pagans they were when they've read a chapter in it religiously 3 times a day and treating it like it was the Bible, basically, and even calling it a Viking Bible all the time. They also see the Havamals as rules, just like the commandments in the Bible or Quran or similar such books. And I see the Havamals as generally really good advice on many things in life, but they're not by any means religious rules or commandments. But this group views it like so. And I don't mean to hate on them or whatnot, I'm just talking about my own opinions when it comes to this and the differences. And now, on to my next very controversial, unpopular opinion, which is, books aren't everything when walking a pagan path. I have said it before, but I'm gonna say it again. There is a bunch of pagans out there on YouTube, for example, that promotes reading books, and they also say that if you don't understand shit, and you can't possibly walk a pagan path. And especially not the Norse path. It's a faith which you really need to study a lot for, they say. But what I wanna ask them is, do you think the old Vikings sat there in some kind of library and read books about their faith and the gods? Not really. They experienced the deities in different ways. They talked to each other about it, and they shared stories with each other. I can't imagine that they sat there having book club meetings. So, in other words, I'm of the opinion that you don't need to study as if you're studying in the university, like you're gonna write a paper or something. Only reading tons of books all the time is not a good thing. Am I against studying through books, though? No, I am not. It's quite convenient. Although, as I have mentioned in previous episodes, reading books has definitely value in some ways, but it should also then be mixed with experiences. You can never know that things you read are true or not if you don't experience them yourself too. Then it doesn't matter how many books you read, but it's a good way to compare and get more info and insights. And what's the point to only read about others' thoughts and experiences all the time without doing the work yourself too? But yeah, I wouldn't say it's a faith you need to study for. Whoever says that the authors in those books are always right anyhow, and who determines that? Are their experiences and take on things by any means facts and rules? No, they're not. Paganism is spirituality, a faith, not a profession you need to get a bachelor's degree for, unless you're actually studying to be an archaeologist or whatever. But yeah, you get my point. The next unpopular opinion is that you don't need to learn the runes.
Shut up!
It's not a requirement. Not all Norse pagans are interested or feel that the runes are calling to them, and that is totally okay. It's like a norm in our pagan community nowadays that runes is something that is just a must, that all Norse pagans just should be learning about it, just because it's Norse. I've seen so many new Norse pagans that are complaining on that they have to learn about them and that they don't really feel like it, but they think they have to because it's just something that we Norse pagans do, they think. Unfortunately, we have so many pagans out there in the media nowadays that are promoting to learn the runes by reading books and whatnot, and I can understand that if you're new and this is all you see, of course you're gonna think, oh, I need to start learning runes ASAP. But I just wanna say to all of you that there are no rules, and if you aren't interested in the runes, then that's that. Never feel pressured to learn something just because it's Norse if you're walking the Norse path. Which then leads me to my next unpopular opinion, which is rune work isn't for everyone.
What?
If you're a newly baked Norse pagan and you have only just started your spiritual journey, I wouldn't recommend you to start working with the runes right away. And to be honest here, in my opinion, the runes just aren't for everyone. They are powerful. Very, very powerful. And they shouldn't be toyed with just because you think it's cool or whatever, and just because it's Norse, and because you're walking the Norse pagan path. It doesn't mean that everyone is suitable to work with the runes, which seems to be quite a common misconception for some reason. And I would say the same about Oem, the Celtic symbols. It's not something you start out with right away just because, and just because it's Celtic. Not everyone is meant or suited to be working with these kind of things. So, here you go, guys. These are some of my unpopular opinions, and I don't ever want to offend anyone. I just think it's important that we actually talk about our unpopular opinions for the purpose of reflection. And also, I am an advocate for speaking our minds. We shouldn't feel afraid to express ourselves because of the concerns of others' approval. And with that said, now it is time for the Swedish word of the week. The word is a bit trickier this week, and it is utesitta, or utisitta, as it's called in Old Norse. Those words sound very similar, right? Some words are still kind of the same today as it was so long ago, which is fun. So, what does this word mean then? Well, it means to sit outside. And it's a word for a certain type of meditation where you sit outside during the night. The practice is also referred to in the historical sources as sitja och haugi, which in Swedish means sitta högt or sitta på en hög, which in English is sit highly or sit on a pile. And please don't roast me for my pronunciation of those old Norse words. I haven't gone any courses or anything, so please don't roast me for it. I tried my best. But now the time has come to end this episode, and I hope that you guys have found it interesting and maybe it has made you reflect a bit yourself on certain things, which is all I hope for. By no means is anything I say rules or facts, and I don't mean to offend anyone who has other opinions. These are just my own opinions, and I hope you guys understand that it's okay to have different opinions than others. All I hope is for people to be able to respect them. And now I want to say a special thank you to my patrons on Patreon, Anthony from the Pod Two Pagans and Podcast. I'm honored to have you on board my longship, and may we long sail together. Bye for now, everyone. See you next week, and lots of love to you all.